irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, June 10th. As we're moving towards the weekend and to Jen's birthday.
Yes, to my birthday. Good morning.
So you're going to have a little party on Sunday. Is that when the birthday is on Sunday?
Or? Birthday is on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
Yes, but it's just better to do on a weekend.
Yeah, and to do it before rather than after, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Make the whole week your birthday week. What the hell?
Yeah, I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
So it'll be good.
It's also easier with people working now and stuff, mm-hmm. a little bit more to get people to meet up at a park on a Sunday.
That's true, yeah.
Than on a Tuesday, so, yeah. You know.
Do you know that there's going to be space there in the park? I mean, do you know the spot? Have you been there before?
Yeah, I've been to the spot before.
Oh,
so
okay.
So hopefully,
yeah,
maybe I should do a drive by.
Right?
Yeah, maybe I'll do a drive by on the way home.
Get there earlier and just, you know,
park up,
take control of the place.
Yeah, the spot I'm looking at has three tables, like three picnic tables.
Okay.
And I'm telling people to bring like a chair or a mat or a blanket or whatever, so they if they want to sit on the grass, they can sit on the grass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Maybe I should bring like one of those beach chairs.
Yeah,
huh?
Bring a beach chair.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Yes.
I don't want to sit on the ground.
Yeah.
I'm too old.
I don't want to sit on the ground. I love sitting on the ground, but sometimes it's like wet and then it's like,
I know, you know,
soaking through and then, well, we're in California. It's never that wet.
Yeah. That's true. It never is, man.
Yeah.
Never is.
But
well,
yeah.
Yeah. The guys across the street with the construction, he was banging on metal, and I thought, shit, man, how are we going to do the show like that, you know?
Yeah.
Can
you hear it?
You can hear noises here, you know?
Does the mic pick it up?
I don't think so, but that was pretty loud, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we have some traffic noise and stuff, but the microphones don't pick it up. But you see, can you hear him banging?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck that shit, man.
Yeah, seriously.
I know. I don't know. I can't win, Jen. I can't seem to win lately, you know? I don't know what the hell's going on.
Baby
man.
Steps. You're back to work, so that's what matters.
Yeah, exactly. I'm back to work.
Back to work. That's a big step. You're out of the house.
It is, exactly.
You know?
But it's very stressful. I have to get used to this.
Yeah.
I haven't been stressed out in a long time.
Yeah.
Well, from work anyway.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. There's always something to get stressed out about.
I know.
Unfortunately.
There's going to be a family wedding in Israel, and everybody seems to be going except me. But even
you don't want to go?
Even if I had the free time. Well, I don't have the free time, you know.
That's fair.
Because when you go there, you want to be at least a couple weeks, you know.
Mm.
It's a pretty long flight.
What is it, like 8 hours?
To get there?
Yeah.
Try double that. 14-15 hours.
I remember it was a long time. We had a layover somewhere, so I wasn't sure.
Yeah, that's good when you have a layover. At least it breaks it up a little bit.
Yeah, we flew Swiss Air.
Yeah.
They gave us such delicious chocolates.
Really?
Yeah, it was so good. Swiss chocolates, elite.
I think I remember Swiss Air as being a good airline, you know?
Yeah, I'll tell you, though, they asked what our... they gave us like a menu before our flight when we were signing up for the Tugleet program. Mm-hmm. They gave us a menu of food to choose from on our flight because it's a long flight, so they feed you an actual meal.
Right.
And then when we get on it, they tell us that they can't honor the decision that we made earlier because we can only have the people who run Tugleet said that we can only eat the kosher meal.
Kosher feel? Yeah.
Meal. And I was like,
yeah, but you know what? Usually it's like... it's a good meal, you know?
It was absolutely awful.
Really?
Yeah, everyone... Well,
wow.
They didn't have anything vegetarian.
Oh, okay.
So everyone who ate it was
chicken.
Like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
disappointed.
That's unusual. I think on El Al, the kosher meals are good, you know?
That's what we were on.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
You were on
El Al? Yeah, when we transferred to El Al. Mm.
Okay, well, I can't speak for them. I don't know what the fuck.
Such a bummer.
But I know.
I was like, come on.
Sometimes it's pretty good. You know, actually, what this is a reflection on is on a company that a friend of mine leads.
Mm-hmm.
They make food for airplanes.
I remember you telling me about that.
Right. And I wonder if it's them making that food. I should write to him and tell him to do it better. Right. But that was some time ago when you went, right?
I mean, I remember eating. It was 6 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. But like, I remember as a kid eating like TV dinners, and they are better than airplane food. You know, like a Hungry Man TV dinner.
But I got to tell you, what they did is, which I think is clever, during the pandemic when there were no flights, they started marketing their meals to the public. Mm. Like, buy this for your house, you know, get the airplane experience.
Like a TV dinner.
And I'm thinking, airplane food is not known as very good.
No.
You know,
not
so
at
why
all.
Would people buy this?
Yeah.
But it must be better. I don't know.
Yeah. You know? I just know that if I'm going to fly, I need to pack a non-stinky sandwich. Mm. You know,
yeah.
You never pack anything with onion, you never pack anything with tuna.
Right.
Just pack.
What would you put in a sandwich being a vegetarian?
I would probably use like vegan deli meat. Probably.
Vegan deli meat. What's that?
So it's usually made out of like a wheat gluten, which gives like a meaty texture, and then they season it. And it honestly, like, deli meat is so fake most of the time. It's really not hard to replicate a fake version of something that's already really fake. So like, I do like tofurkey slices, or and then I'll do like a vegan cheese with it, and like lettuce, tomato, or I'll do like a burrito kind of thing.
Yeah. It's interesting you said that about meats, deli meats, because I mean, I noticed that when I buy it, it doesn't smell like anything, you know, and it's got to have a smell to it.
And it's like a little slippery.
Right. But it's got to have like, you know, if you like meat, it's a good smell. But when it does smell. But that's what I'm saying. Like when I pick up some stuff from the Israeli market, what a difference, you know? I mean, you can smell that it's turkey. You can smell that it's beef. It smells like meat, you know?
Yeah.
And
the American stuff is garbage.
I know. It's like, you know, and especially you can see that when you go to Subway. It has no flavor whatsoever, you know?
The problem is it's so smooth. And that's because they take the meat and all of the byproducts, and they do additives, and they put fillers in it, and they grind it all up together and create it into a mold. And then once it's in a mold, they wrap it, and that's when they put it on the slicer and slice it. And that's why you get that smooth texture.
So it's really processed.
It's super processed. Like if you have like an actual, like if you go to Whole Foods, they have an actual thing of turkey that they slice for you, and it has like the texture and everything like that to it. So, you know, it's you're actually eating sliced turkey.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did before. Right. I transitioned to organic before I went vegan.
Yeah.
And so I started getting all my meats at Whole Foods, and it was so much better.
Wow. That's interesting. Yeah. You know, because like salami, for example, is probably processed too.
Oh, it's extremely processed.
Right.
Like what part of the animal is that? It's not, you know, it's many parts.
Mm.
It's many, many parts all ground up together with
Well, it tastes fucking good.
Pepper.
Man.
Yeah, salami's delicious. But Oreos and pepperoni, and pepperoni is in the same boat as salami, are the two most toxic things you can eat.
Yeah, that's what you were saying. That's interesting to me.
I love Oreos.
Yeah.
Got to go for the Newman's ones.
And I like pepperoni and sausages and stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
I used to as well.
Yeah.
But it's all those like nitrates and.
Yeah. I know every once in a while I'll have one, you know, but not like sausage or something.
Yeah, I think we just need to eat like mostly natural foods. It's okay to have processed now and again, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, mainly you want to have. Vegetables and stuff like that. You know?
Just culturally, it's really hard to stay away from that kind of stuff. Like you go to restaurants and most of the things you're eating have been microwaved.
In a restaurant?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah. Hmm. So much is microwaved that you eat.
I guess it depends what restaurant you go to, right?
Pretty much. Even the high-end restaurants I've worked at still microwave some things.
Hmm.
Desserts are microwaved. So much is microwaved.
Huh.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
I suppose it is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's happened, but our food is just not.
What's happened is the necessity to hurry it up. You know,
make it cheaper, maybe, or whatever.
I mean, make it cheaper. People want it fast. They want things cheap and fast.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've become a very fast society, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. We thought the pandemic would slow us down, but no way. I mean, we're
revving back accustomed. Up. Yeah.
We're accustomed to that, you know?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, the traffic sure is back. You know, I mean, the bad traffic.
Yeah. I don't think it's as bad as it was, but...
Well, there's been a couple of bad days when I was driving back where the GPS wouldn't even let me go on the freeway. It was that bad, you know, maybe accidents or whatever.
Sure.
So then they reroute the traffic and then everything gets congested. So, that sucks, you know.
I mean, it takes me 20 minutes to get here and 45 minutes to get home.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know. And it's, it's crazy. I don't know. I don't see any difference in the traffic. Some days are better than others, you know, but sometimes I don't understand why, like yesterday, for example, the traffic just flowed, you know, and I'm like, why is it like this one day and it's totally congested the next, you know?
Yeah. There's like one traffic cone that causes an entire pile up.
Yeah. Yeah. Either that or nothing, really. I mean, you can't find a reason.
Yeah, sometimes it's just maybe
less people are working. I don't know.
I guess so. Yeah. It doesn't make sense. Make it make sense.
Yeah. What's the status with the schools? Are they back in session yet? Or
I think a lot of them are. A lot of them have been.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I thought they're still at home with their Zoom lessons and shit.
I'm pretty sure most schools are back. Mm. They're in person, which is pretty wild.
With masks and stuff, probably. Right?
With masks, and they have weekly COVID testing that the schools usually provide. And then I think every 2 weeks, they make sure the parents or family members send in COVID tests as well.
I see. Mm. And I saw some pictures of like dividers between the students, you know, like those. Mm.
The plastic dividers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's interesting, but
I know, man. What a way to live.
It'll be a while until that goes away.
I don't know. People are starting to feel more liberal and taking off their masks and shaking hands and hugging and stuff. It's like, yeah, I'm okay with that, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not going to freak out and stuff. And
until the next pandemic.
Until the next one, yeah. Yeah, there's just so many threats to society, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, they were talking about that our power grid, our electricity, is vulnerable to terrorism and attacks and shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, you know, I mean, what's this about, you know? We're like the most advanced country in the world, and we can't even protect our own power grid, you know, our power system. And that's very scary, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot we're missing.
I know.
So much.
I know. So maybe it's better we don't know.
How little control we have.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
I know. It's a different place here from what it used to be, that's for sure, you know. Mm. I'm not saying it's all bad. There's a lot of great things. I mean, I love this country. I really do. But some things are not the way they used to be. And, you know, some people just long for things the way they used to be, you know. That's why I'm a conservative, you know. That's what it's about. It's about getting used to certain ways of life, you know. And then you don't want to change.
Yeah, change is hard.
It is hard, you know. It is hard.
Especially when, like, the alternative is so opposing to what you do want.
Right.
You know, I don't know. Yeah. I feel like there are so many different options for where this country is going in the next few years that it's hard to figure out how to actually make changes as a one person. Right. And also to kind of just enjoy the ride or watch the ride.
Right.
Or not know what to do at all.
Yeah, one of the biggest differences I think is the fact that a lot more people are into politics now, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So we get this great divide and everything. I think when people didn't care, we got along better, you know.
Yeah, but people didn't care, and also they weren't exposed to as much. I think social media exposes a lot more.
Right.
It at least reaches a lot more, exposes things to a lot more people.
Yeah.
You know.
It amplifies everything, you know.
Sure.
It's funny because on TikTok, they always have those great things. I really like that.
It's so good. I love TikTok. It's right? The best place on earth.
I mean, the shit people come up with.
I know. So good.
Yeah.
So good.
I know.
And honestly, they explain a lot of creators on there explain politics in like fantastic ways, you know, that like because my issue is like. Oh, this is so hard to explain. Like, I don't consider myself. I don't even want to go down that rabbit hole. But anyway.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. We'll find other things to talk about.
Yeah. I just find that people don't know how to meet each other in the middle on either side. And I think there's certain ways of discussing conversation that both sides fall into that are opposing of each other that creates an even stronger barrier between each other instead of being able to sit down and have a conversation about it. People use like elitist vocabulary or yelling or just improper tactics for getting into people's psyche. So I think there are some content creators out there that do a really good job of you know, kindly opening the floor for conversation,
yeah,
instead of making it like forceful or shaming or
yeah,
whatever.
There's a lot of anger, a lot of hatred, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, I mean, there's so much going on that, you know, I don't know how much we should talk about this, but there's some things that are really pressing, you know. I don't know. But some things that I want to talk about is like the TSA, which is responsible for the security checks in the airport, are anticipating labor shortages at more than 100 airports. So they're looking for volunteers now. I mean, if you can't attract people that get paid, how are you going to get volunteers?
Yes, you know?
And yesterday I had this another article open that airlines are asking their employees to work extra hours for no money, and you know, and they have shortages and everything, I understand, and so yeah, but you can't expect people to work for free. What is this, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure the executives are not going to the ones that are
no
asking the people to do that, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going to happen, but there's probably going to be disruptions in flights, you know.
That's wild.
In the summer. Yeah.
Man,
a lot of people are going to be flying, I'm telling you.
Yeah, they're going to be completely overworked.
Right.
Yeah. The problem, though, with jobs is that sometimes if you don't obey what your employer wants you to do, they will threaten to fire you. Right. So some people will end up working those extra hours without pay just because they're afraid of losing their job.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably true.
But lucky for them, like restaurants are super understaffed and really need staff, and you make probably more at restaurants than you would working for TSA. So,
yeah,
rest assured, there's other places for you to go. Nowhere,
yeah,
everywhere is hiring.
I know.
People are desperate for workers, but people are realizing that going back to these like crappy paid jobs where, you know, they say, oh, if you're sick, don't come in. And then when it's actually a day that you're sick, they're like, well, if you don't come in, you're fired. Like, I've been told that before when I'm, like, throwing up all day long. And this is for, like, a restaurant job or a retail job. Right. And people are just realizing that, like, they don't want to go back to it because it's not worth it. It's not worth, like, the mental abuse that you endure at these kinds of jobs.
Right. But what choice do they have? What are they going to do for income?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, they go for unemployment, but that's not
well, they're
last.
Doing that. Yeah, it's not going to last.
That's going to last indefinitely, you know? And, yeah, I mean, I was hearing young people, I saw some posts and stuff saying that, you know, screw the restaurants, screw the employers. You know, they treat us like shit. What do they expect? So let them have shortages. We're not going to go to work and stuff. And I'm like, wow, you know? How did we end up there, you know, where people don't want to work, you know?
Yeah, because they, I mean, I think that's where people did slow down during the pandemic and take an opportunity to appreciate quality of life of not having office culture, not having, you know, having to go in and deal with patrons and deal with your shitty boss. Like, I've worked at very few restaurants where I had a nice boss.
Yeah.
Very, very few. And I've worked at dozens of restaurants over a decade.
Right. But you'll agree with me that if you don't like restaurants, the way they treat you, you don't have to work there, right?
No, but also, like, where else can you get a job? Retail? That also sucks. Starbucks? Okay, so, that probably sucks, too.
Well, but the thing is that there's enough people that find things to do, you know. I mean, it's not like there isn't. If you don't like any of these, get training in something that you do like, you know. But you can't walk around complaining that you're not working. Not you. I mean,
yeah,
in
general, of course.
That you don't have any money, or that they treat you like shit or anything, when you're not really doing anything about your career, you know.
Well, yeah, you can't complain about not having money,
right?
That's for sure. But
right.
But I respect not wanting to go back to jobs like that. But, yeah. I mean, you can't say, oh, I don't have money. I deserve money. That I don't know who would ever be.
Right. But what I'm saying is people have always worked. Not everybody, but many people have worked at jobs that they don't like, you know.
Yeah.
And you don't have a choice. That's life, you know.
Yep.
So and some young people don't understand that. And it's going to hit them one day that they're living in fantasy, I think, you know, whereas like you can't afford not to work.
Yeah. You know? Look, I totally get that. And I agree on both ends in the sense that, like, I think I've always been a person who's worked a job, whether I wanted to or not.
Right.
Most of the time, I did not want to. I've never in a day in my life wanted to go to work in a restaurant and serve people all night and clean up their disgusting plates. I've never wanted to go work in retail and help somebody for $8 an hour. I never wanted to do it, or any of the other odd jobs that I've done in between that. At the same time, people are realizing that, like, people are fighting the 9-to-5, which is, I think, great. People are fighting just the way the job market is, which I think is great. At the same time, I think while you're figuring out your next move, I personally like certain things in my life. I like to buy nice groceries. I like to get a massage every now and again. I like to afford a gym membership if I want, or go to a class or take acting classes. Like, there are things that I need to fund my life, to fund my happiness, to fund a lifestyle that brings me peace, that I need to work a job that I don't want to do for.
And that's really
that's what
most
it boils down
are,
to.
Right.
Yeah.
Most people, you know, it's like nobody ever promised that a job's going to be like the source of your happiness.
Right. But what I find is when you take that money you made from that job that you don't like and you put it towards life-giving activities that fulfill you, it makes that job easier to endure while you're on your other journey.
Right.
You know, because while I'm in acting classes, people in my class will work on a project and suggest me, and then I'll get booked and then I'll make money that way. A friend will suggest me to their agent, and then that person might not sign me, but they might send me in for something or book me for something. And so while I'm working my survival jobs, as painful as they can be at sometimes, they're allowing me to put myself in positions to farther my career in what I want to do.
Right.
And not to say everyone who works a survival job has to be an actor or in film or whatever. Like, if you want to paint, if you want to be a yoga instructor, you still need to make money to get your certification, to take those classes and to supplement in between, because they don't make that much per class, especially in the beginning. Like, you need to supplement your money. So it's about doing a job you don't want to do. I get you don't want to do it, but use that money so that you don't take it for granted, so that you're not angry about it. You have to take that money and use it to fulfill yourself in other ways.
Right. Exactly. You know, and that's the thing, is that I think in modern times where people are finding satisfaction with their jobs. There are people that expect that as an automatic thing. And that's what I'm saying. They're looking for the source of their happiness in the job, but it's not, that's not where you look for a source of happiness. Although, you know, I mean, if you have like a high paying career that you're enjoying and everything, that's one thing, you know. But if you're going to work to pay the bills and stuff, you got to find your source of enjoyment from other things, like you mentioned.
Right,
you know?
Right. And like, if you can get to a point where you're working a job that you absolutely love, that does fulfill you, that's extremely lucky. And I think we all should be working towards that. But you can't just put all, you can't just sit there miserable because your day job is not your source of happiness.
Right.
I get it. It's not a source of happiness. Doing 9 to 5s is not a source of happiness, and you have to find it elsewhere. And even if that money you're making and you have a family to feed or you're in debt or whatever, and maybe I'm talking from a place of privilege because I don't have that much debt at this point in time. I also don't have a degree to go with that lack of debt, which I'm totally proud about.
I don't think it's privilege, though, not to have debt. It was your decision, you know?
Right. But at the same time, like, some people have families to feed. I am in a place of privilege where I don't have any other mouth to feed but my own and maybe my two cats. So, you know, even if you don't have the privilege of a passion that you know, like I know that I want to be an actor. I know that I want to work in film. So I have that. Not everyone knows what they want to do. Not everyone knows what makes them tick. Go spend some time outside, you know, save up, you know, $5 a week if you can, and take an art class. Like, you have to just do something, anything to get the ball rolling and meet people that can maybe take you on your next journey. The problem is people don't know what they want to do, so they do nothing, which right. doesn't further them at all.
No, absolutely. You know, and the thing is that, you know, I think they can, some people can afford not to work because they don't have responsibility, you know. But
sure.
people that do have, like you said, families to feed and all that stuff, they're not going to walk around saying, oh, you know, the employers treat me like shit, so I'm not going to work. Mm. You know, that's not the way it goes, you
no,
know.
No, you just
there's a lot of people
put your head
that
down
do,
and grind.
Yeah. I mean, there's people that do a lot less pleasant work than working at a restaurant, you know.
Yeah. I mean, there's been times in my life where I've had to work to help support my family. Mm-hmm. Not, I don't have kids, but to help support my immediate family that I grew up in. And there, I've spent my entire 20s having two or more jobs at a time. From 19 to 26, I had 4 jobs that I worked every day. I wow. worked 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., started my next job at 3:45, worked till around 9:30 or 10, and then I drove across the bridge to Philadelphia to work my night job from as soon as I got there, 10:30 until 4 in the morning.
Wow.
And then I would sleep in my car in the parking lot for 2 hours and then go back to work and do it again. And then on my day off that I had, I coordinated it so that I could go work a catering job on that day. And I was so happy to have that morning off that I had that it was everything to me. And I didn't have time to think about anything except I had to stay in my grind.
Right.
You just have to stay
that,
in
that's
it.
That's the thing. You know, you're a great example that should be set for people that think, I don't need to work, you know?
Yeah, you just have to.
Yeah,
you know,
you really have to, you know? Well, I salute you for that. That's really a lot of sacrifice, you know?
It was a lot of grind.
Yeah.
It was a lot of grind. And, you know, and then I got more and more into better restaurants, and I was able to let go of some of the other jobs because I could just work the restaurant job.
Right.
And everything's like you have to recalibrate your gauge, right? Like
right.
you're overworked doing that, and then you try something else, and then it seems easier, and now your gauge is recalibrated, and now you're like, oh, this is so much, you know? Like, but yeah, you just working in service was as much bullshit as comes with it. It makes way more money than so many other places. Like the last restaurant I worked in New York, I'd make $500, $600, $700 in a night.
Wow.
You know, and that's 5-6 hours of my day. And it exhausted me. It was absolutely exhausting. I would come home and my ears would just be ringing and I would just dissociate and stare at the wall for an hour before I was able to smoke weed and go to bed. It wasn't a way to live long term, but I mean, there's a lot of money to be had in that industry. Right. So go for it if you're thinking of it.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
At least for a little while.
Yeah. That's what I say, you know.
Just don't start going out and drinking with everyone after the shift because yeah. Everyone who I know works in service becomes an alcoholic because we all just go blow off steam after our shift and get shit-faced and then eat New York pizza at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, 4 in the morning.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Speaking of New York, New Yorkers are going to get the Macy's Parade this year.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. I'll be live on... I guess it's not the thing. Usually it's Thanksgiving, right? Mm-hmm. This is going to be on July 4th for the biggest show yet, is what they call it.
That sounds like and a threat.
Have you ever gone in person to these things?
It's a mess.
It's a mess, right? A lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't
know how people do that, you know? Times Square thing, you know?
No. Anyone who lives in New York doesn't really do that.
Doesn't go there, huh?
No.
Yeah.
The biggest thing I would go to over holidays would be in Philly. I would go to the Art Museum. And I think I did that for the last time, too. A few years ago, my mom and I went. And the whole night I had this, it was 4th of July, I think like 5 or 6 years ago. And I had this like weird feeling the whole night. I felt like a lump in my throat. And my mom kept asking me like, what's wrong? What's wrong? I'm like, I just feel like something's going to happen. Just feel like something's going to happen the whole night. And so it's the end of the night. I was really bothered by it. Like I had to use my inhaler. I felt like short of breath. And the whole night went by and it's the end and we're watching the fireworks and everyone's standing and I just got this feeling to turn around and look behind me. And when I did, I had this like weird elongated vision and then I hear 2 gunshots and then someone screamed and yelled, run for your life. And then we heard 2 more gunshots and there was a 10,000 person stampede that came trampling over and my mom fell down. She got like stampeded, if that's a word, stampeded on. People were bleeding. There was like people tipped over in their wheelchairs. There was like children crying by themselves. Like it was like, it looked like a massacre site. No one had actually gotten shot. We found out the next day it was just a BB gun. But the stampede had hurt a lot of people. And I think like 2 people were killed in the stampede.
Wow.
But people were like separated from their families. There was ambulance everywhere because so many people were hurt. It was wild, and that was the last time I really went into a big crowd like that.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good enough lesson, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. There was something like that in Israel a couple months ago. Mm. I don't know if we talked about this, but I think we did, that people got together, how many was it? Like 100,000 people or something for this holiday. They went up to this, like a sage's tomb or something, you know. And there was also a stampede where people just like got trapped, you know, and got squeezed to death, you know. And I can't imagine how terrible that's gonna be.
People actually got squeezed to death?
Yeah.
Wait, what happened?
It's like there were too many people. And there were only, so they were gathered in a small area. And they couldn't get through, you know. I mean, just think about it. When you have so many people, it starts moving, and there's nothing you can do to stop it.
Oh, my God. How many people died?
About 30-something people.
Oh, my gosh.
Including kids and everything, you know?
Just from being squeezed to death?
Yeah. Asphyxiated, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? That's like, it's like I can't imagine. I just can't imagine something so terrible. And then they found that... they had warned people that it's too many people and all that shit, you know.
People never listen.
Yeah.
People never listen until it's too late.
Yeah. Especially all those like ultra-Orthodox people where they only answer to God.
You know? You can't tell them anything.
No.
Ever.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
They know better than anyone. You know, they have a direct line to God.
Yeah, I guess.
Jeez.
I remember on Birthright, we went and we talked to all different levels of people who practiced all different levels of Judaism. Right. And when we got to the Orthodox guy, all the ladies in the group had such an issue. Like, we were like really grilling him on a lot of questions. It was fun. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
I can't imagine. Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah. He was like, I mean, the woman's there to be pregnant and, you know, take care of the house and da 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 da. And everyone's like, what?
Yeah. Not today.
Not today. Yeah.
But, I know. They still live in the past, you know?
Yeah.
And the amazing thing is the Hasidim, which is the ultra-Orthodox, the ones that wear black and those furry hats and stuff.
Yeah.
It's not an ancient thing. I mean, it started like in the 1800s or something in Europe, you know, that movement. So, but they live like in the Stone Age, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's why it's hard for them to assimilate in Israel, you know, even though they're born there and everything.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think they're so stuck in that old school culture?
Well, it's a culture, like you said, you know, I mean, that's what works for them. That's what they believe.
There's actually a documentary about a woman who escaped Hasidic culture.
There was also like Unorthodox. That was a series, but it wasn't a documentary. That was a fictional story.
Mm.
But I don't know if you saw it, but everybody talked highly of it. It was on like, I don't know, a year ago maybe?
Yeah, I see it. I see its little thing on whatever channel that is all the time.
But yeah, I mean, they do have documentaries and stuff on this. And it's...
they really punish you for leaving too.
Yeah.
They really do. Like, can't see your kids. You can't have contact with them.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I know.
Yeah.
And they insist on just studying Bible all day, not going to the military, you know, not, I don't know if they even pay taxes because they're all poor because they don't work.
They don't work?
They don't work. They get money from the government. How can they work if they study Bible all day?
Yeah, that's true.
Right? And so that's why there's a lot of friction between them and secular Israelis, you know,
because
people are like, why am I going to the army to fight for you and defend you when you're not willing to do the same?
Yeah, you know? I agree with that.
And then on the other hand, you know, you want you realize that they're the ones keeping the Jewish tradition and everything. You know, I mean, they're very Orthodox about it, but they're keeping it. I mean, they're like. They're trying to be consistent with the Jewish country, with the Jewish state, you know, because the country was created for Jews, but it was created by secular people, not religious people, you know. So that's why Israel is not stuck in the Stone Age. It's just groups of people that are, you know. But, I mean, so, you know, they have a... I mean, they have, you know, a good role for what they do, but you know, I mean, like you said, their views are outdated, they're very intolerant, you know, so that's what you get, and there's a lot of friction and stuff, and they can't reconcile that, you know? So there's, every country's got its own shit, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
In Vegas, I don't know if you heard of this, but a week ago, was it? I don't know, but this guy was driving a Lamborghini Hurricane, right? He was going 141 miles per hour in a 45 mile per hour zone.
Very smart.
145 miles, I mean, how can you even go that fast in a street, you know? I mean, so maybe it wasn't a street, maybe it was just an open road or something, but... so he crashed and killed the moped driver.
I'm sure he would kill anything that he crashed into at that speed.
Yeah, they're saying it was so bad that the moped got lodged under the car, you know?
And that's a low, low car.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how bad it was. I mean, I can't imagine there was anything left of the victim, you know?
Oh my gosh.
But the driver was a 33-year-old from Texas.
The moped driver?
No, the
Lamborghini.
They don't even know who it belongs to. He didn't have a driver's license, smelled of alcohol. And
the shoe fits, I guess.
Yeah, you know, they were at a party. So there were two Lamborghinis. The other one says he just kind of disappeared, accelerated and disappeared, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a car is a weapon. You don't have to go that fast to be dangerous, you know.
You can hit and kill someone at 25 miles an hour.
Right, you know.
Did the Lamborghini driver survive?
Well, that's the Lamborghini driver, the one that was drunk. And
he survived.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, they always do.
Yeah, they do.
The drunk drivers always survive.
They do because they're so relaxed.
Maybe that, but also because they're the ones doing the hitting, you know. So it's usually maybe the airbags come on or something. But when you get hit by one, it can be from the side, from the back, from, you know.
Yeah.
Where the airbags may not deploy. So.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I know.
I don't even feel safe going that fast.
I know.
I remember the woman that I stayed with during COVID, her friend from the UK stayed there too, and he was a complete asshole.
Right.
He was like the worst. And she drove a Bentley, and I usually drove it. The staff usually drives the car. So I usually drove it. And this thing like went really fast, really easily. And one time I was going to get art supplies with this guy, and he asked to drive. And I was like, sure, okay. And I like to drive. I right. like to be in control. I like to be the person driving. I don't trust people's driving. And so he's going like 120, 140. And I was like, can you please like slow down?
Are you serious?
And he was like trying to be like funny and make a power move because he was super, super all about power. And he got up to like 180. And I was like, as soon as we got out of the car, we went into the store, and I was like, he's like, yeah, I'll drive home. So when we went into the store, I was like, can I see the keys? I left something in the car just to say that, just to be like, great, I have the keys, I'm going to drive. And so when we finally left, I was like, I'm driving.
Where did he drive that fast? On the freeway?
Yeah, on the 405.
Wow.
I was like shitting my pants.
What time of the day was it?
It was like probably like noon.
And he had room to drive that fast?
Yeah, well, 405? He was weaving in and out really fast in between everybody. Yeah.
Jeez.
Which also made me like so nervous.
I can't imagine. And he put you through it?
And I was like literally in the car yelling, can you please slow down? Can you please slow down? And he's like laughing.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, I've never wanted to like slit someone's throat worse.
That's the definition of an asshole.
Yeah. He's the absolute pits. I hate him so much.
Yeah.
Just.
Well, good thing you're out of there, right?
Right?
Are you out of there?
Yeah.
You don't work for her anymore. Right?
Every now and again, but not really. Yeah. He's gone, though. He's out of the picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a terrible environment to be around.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was not good.
No, huh?
But yeah. But yeah, drivers like that exist, and they're usually assholes.
Yeah. I saw yesterday they're trying to do something about the homeless in Venice Beach. It's become like a tent city, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it lately?
Mm-hmm. I have.
So they sent sheriff deputies there to actually start finding a solution for this, not to arrest the people,
sure,
but to communicate with them, to find out how they can help them, what they can do for them.
Sure.
So I'm thinking, well, maybe this will work. You know, it doesn't work when you kick them out.
Well, what they did with Echo Park Lake, because they shut that down for like a solid month or two.
Right.
They put all those people, there was a, I don't know where exactly it is downtown, my roommate knows, but they have a building that, it's like an old hotel that they were going to renovate into apartments, excuse me, and so they put them all there, and then I actually just saw this week, they've been living there for probably like a month or two at this point, and then I just saw yesterday that there was a fire at one of the buildings.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Probably like smoking inside or something.
Yeah, maybe even started the fire. You know,
yeah, you never
to
know.
Cook something. Who knows what they're doing?
Yeah.
They built some like tiny homes for them. Did you see that?
Mm-mm.
Like out here in Reseda, they built like very tiny homes. You know, they don't even have a bathroom. They're like smaller than this room.
Mm.
But they have a bed, you know, they have whatever.
That's nice.
And then common bathrooms and shit. And I don't know if that's going to work, you know, but
I hope so.
Yeah.
I think for some people that will be really nice.
It's just that apparently some of them don't want to be part of the system, you know, because they don't want to follow the rules. So then they prefer to stay on the street rather than do what they're told to do, you know.
Yeah, but L.A. is not really a place to be out of the system. Like, you're still on the street. You're still part of everyday life. Like, go live in the woods in Oregon or something. That's how you really stay off the grid, if you want to be off the grid.
But I don't think they want to, you know, because how are they going to eat and everything? They have to beg for money, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, at that point, you just, like, hunt.
Yeah, hunt your food. Huh?
Hunt your food, yeah. if you want to be off the grid.
Yeah. Apparently, they don't want to. And many of them, I don't even think they think that far, you know. I mean, many of them are mentally ill, you know, and whatever problems they have, you know. But not all of them are. I mean, some people just lost everything they had, you know.
That's the thing about the homeless population is people try to win one narrative.
Because it keeps persisting, you know. There's nobody has an answer for it.
Yeah.
It seems, you know.
Definitely.
But it's definitely not pleasant when you walk around the city or drive around and you see tent cities, you know.
I mean, downtown is really bad right now.
Yeah.
Downtown's always been bad. But
yeah. And that's why they're there, because there's people that they can beg for money from, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I remember hearing two homeless people talk in New York once. And one guy was like, I made $300 yesterday.
Really?
Just from begging.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do make money. I mean,
sometimes.
Those people that stand by the off ramps and stuff on the freeways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for those of you who don't live here, you have often homeless. Almost every exit. Almost every exit up from the freeway, there's somebody standing there with a sign, and people give them money, you know. And I think somebody, like a TV reporter or something, pretended to be one to see how much money they're making. And he also reported they made a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, so
it's wild.
So they don't have any reason to go and be helped, you know. They just figure, this is how I'm going to live, you know.
Yeah, I wonder what they do with the money.
Well, food. And, I mean, sometimes I see them talking on the cell phone.
Yeah.
And cigarettes. I mean, cigarettes are expensive.
Yeah, but $300 a day is more than the average person makes in a day.
Right. Well, I don't know that they make that much, that all of them make that much, you know.
But still, you know.
Even $50, $100 a day will keep you alive, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Yeah. It's horrible, man. I can't even imagine living like that, you know?
No.
Not being able to shower, not being able to do anything, you know, just living on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
With tarp around you, you know?
It's tough.
Yeah.
I hope any of them that want help find the help they need.
Yeah. I know. And then there was this guy who was caught stealing hundreds of blank COVID-19 vaccine cards in California. So co-workers saw him do this. I guess he was planning on selling this, huh?
That's wild.
They're becoming a thing.
What does he know?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, if he works with this stuff, then I think he is a worker, you know, at the vaccine places. So
I know, but why are people going to want to buy them?
Because they don't want to get vaccinated.
And they just want to show their card to prove they are.
Probably, which is bizarre, you know.
It's like, just either do it or proudly don't.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Some people just like to be scam artists.
Yeah.
You know, I really think people just get off on scamming, no matter how little the scam.
Yeah. Apparently, he was going to sell them for $15 a piece. That's worth it.
I guess
if you need to be able to fly or something and you didn't get vaccinated.
Mm.
I don't know. But crazy. People do crazy shit for money.
The thing about the flights is that they were talking about how the people who are vaccinated have a higher risk of blood clots. So they're assessing how safe it is for them to fly.
Right. Right. And also, like, many countries don't require you to have vaccine. They just want you to get tested, you know. And if you test negative, I guess you have to quarantine or something. I don't know.
Sure.
You know, so I haven't heard of anything where people were not allowed to do something without the vaccine.
Mm.
But some places are talking about it, you know, so we'll see what happens. But people are saying it's illegal. You can't dictate to people what to put in their bodies and things like that, you know.
I agree with that.
Yeah, it makes sense, you know. I don't know. All right, well, Jen, that's it.
That's it.
For us, this is a Friday.
This is our Friday.
This is a Friday because we take Fridays off. And I'm looking forward to your party. Are there going to be any attractive women there?
Probably a few.
I might be interested in.
You'll probably like my friend Val.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, she has to like me too. Oh, well, we'll just socialize.
Yeah. No, right. I have a lot of really great friends.
That's all that's important is the personalities. You
yeah.
know? All right. I'm saying it like a good boy. All right, everybody. All right. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you all on Monday.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.